Triple Threat, a Star Wars fan fiction, written by Opal Song, with
Opal Song as Commander Cody,
Mistborn Hero as Medic Kix,
God of Laundry Baskets as Commander Fox,
Kitana as the narrator,
Rena Jenkins as Professor Shaira,
Pezax as Padme,
Litra as Reddit Trooper,
K-Burb as Symbiote 821,
King Tyson's World as Space BuzzFeed Article,
Melancholy Morningstar as Newscaster,
Pisnerka as Unnamed Trooper,
Devil with a Bird Dress as Sparks,
Jop as Unnamed Symbiote,
Mulberry Graceful as the Supreme Chancellor.
A symbiote, a heat, and a Sith threat gone awry. Three clones, three very different experiences. One threat, the chip in their heads. A story told through helmet cam footage, emails, and news reports.
We've been over how many of the core worlds came together and chose to govern themselves as one body. But how did Thaumnil join? They were not a core world at the time, and further, they had no resources to entice the budding Republic to offer them membership. The most they could have hoped for was a subsidiary position, a position written out of law millennia ago. Hands down, please, if you do not know what a subsidiary planet is, please reference last week's lecture. Thaumnil joined as a core world quite by accident. To explain, we must look at the charter again. Please turn to page 3391. This is part of the agreement with the Jedi Order. As we well know, the Republic were indebted to the Jedi Order at this time and desperate for their acceptance and participation in their new government. They would lend credibility. This was also the only reward the Republic seemed to consider for the act of saving most of their planets from natural disasters and civil war. Thus, when the Republic formed, the Jedi Order was given a unique place in it. We will get into this in depth next week. The important part for Thaumnil is that the Jedi insisted that their family's worlds also be given the option to join as full members. Given that it was only optional, not required, for the worlds, and that all worlds interested were already joining, this seemed a more than reasonable concession to put in the charter. And as everyone knows now, marriage and families are not the Jedi way. So I am sure the risk felt non-existent. Of course, this was not fully the case. A now unnamed Amaran Jedi fell into their time. For those unfamiliar, an Amaran's time is a period once every 7 years in which a person requires intense physical stimulation as well as a deep emotional bond in order to anchor them. From concurrent writings on the subject, we know that the Jedi require this bond more desperately than others of the species. Normally, an Amaran's time is spent with their spouse or spouse-to-be. If this time is spent with anyone else, marriage is offered afterwards, both as a sign of respect and due to the deep bond between the participants. Please see Chang et al. For further information on this topic. Our unnamed Jedi found themselves on Thaumnilia for negotiations, and a planet-specific pollen triggered their time early. The locals were kind enough to care for them throughout the ordeal, and afterward rejoiced in the marriage when it was offered. The New Republic was small, but still large enough to provide aid and trading opportunities for Thaumnilia, and they chose to join when the Jedi offered.
Date. Report to Jedi Council. Be CC'd to the Supreme Chancellor. Subject: Security measures for Senator Alec. As requested, the Coruscant Guard has reviewed the security measures in place for Senator Alec due to the death threats received. No further inquiry is required for the death threats themselves. Security measures currently in place include all measures recommended by the guard and insurance personnel for active senators. Several security droids reacted outside normal parameters. Commander Fox recommended several increased measures, including reprogramming droids with Coruscant Guard-created security programming. Senator Alec refused, as this voids any warranty and insurance from the droid company. Senator Alec accepted Coruscant Guard presence in his home for the times when he is not in the Senate dome. Commander Fox.
Helmet cam footage taken from Trooper CT-0667 Sparks' helmet after the incident on the Hunter Scathi. Several troopers wearing the blue of the 501st disembark from a small shuttle into what appears to be an empty spaceship. A distress signal can be heard coming through the shuttle's comm. The designation matches the designation of this ship. The distress signal repeats. Troopers fan out, the leader of the squad directing them with hand signals. They seem wary. The ship seems utterly abandoned, dark except for emergency lights. The silence is eerie, especially since the HUD visible indicates that the atmosphere is within livable conditions for a large number of species. 5 minutes pass with no further information. The ship remains empty and dark and silent. The troopers stay together to search. When the squad reaches the navigation hub, a trooper with a pad breaks off and heads for the navigation computer.
Shark, stay with techies. The rest of you, fan out in pairs.
The troopers split up. More footage of empty corridors.
We lay quiet. Where do you think all those civvies are holed up?
A small intake of breath as if for a reply. But any response is cut off by a gut-wrenching scream echoing through the empty ship. The trooper in view raises their blaster, and both turn back the way they came. There is a flicker in peripheral vision, but when the footage stabilizes from the swift turn, nothing is there. The other trooper is gone.
Iceman? This isn't funny. I know I just got my paint, but this isn't the time for pranks.
The corridor is empty again. Silent. The HUD lights up and comms turn on.
Techies? Shark?
The footage jolts like the wearer tapped their helmet. Comms remain silent. The next few minutes of travel back towards the navigation hub are silent and tense. Sparks is breathing shallow and fast, nervous. A door that was open previously, linking two corridors, is now shut. A quick investigation proves it is locked.
Krifnisha Brudni Krifarchak Krifing Ships Pulbone Nishabrudni.
Another blood-curdling scream echoes through the ship.
Ah!
The following several minutes are a frantic winding path, continuously blocked. One corridor opens to another, and the squad leader stands in the center. Shadows stick to him in ways they shouldn't, as if they have weight and mass.
Squad leader!
A shadow shoots out of squad leader's back.
No!
The footage careens wildly for a minute before settling sideways on the ground. A trooper with a med pack shows up. He moves frantically towards the cam. Shadows shoot out from the squad leader.
No! Their brain is mine!
The medical trooper hesitates before putting his hands up.
If you really want to help, do it now.
Shadows lash out, piercing the squad leader. The cam footage goes dark as something black covers it. The darkness seems to move slightly. Audio remains for a moment, filled with the squad leader's screams and a screeching of pain that no human throat could create. Audio cuts off. Recording ends. No evidence of tampering found. Sent for further examination. playing on Plur Hollownet News Station.
And further developments for peace are set back once again with the death of Senator Alec. The senator was one of the strongest proponents for peace with the Separatists, using their own personal connections to several Separatist planets to open peace talks. The senator was found dead in their Coruscanti apartment this afternoon, after failing to attend several meetings. Interestingly, there is no sign of forced entry, and the security droids did not detect any intrusion, nor danger for the residents. Young or squeamish viewers should look away now. The following images of the crime scene are not suitable for all viewers.
Five things you didn't know about Nautilins. Number 4 will blow your socks off. 1. Nautilin cities are built half above and half below the water. They are largely inaccessible for species that need only one or the other. 2. Nautilins have their coming-of-age ceremonies in what is equivalent to a human's late 20s or early 30s. They go to special secluded spaces with only one person, their spouse, to guard them. The rest is a mystery. 3. A Nautilin family can range from 2 dedicated spouses to sprawling pods with complicated interwoven relationships. 4. Nautilins can change their biology. This affects their ability to bear children, but also they can adapt to water that is only barely above freezing or just below boiling, or contaminated with toxins or poisons. 5. They don't have gills. They absorb oxygen through their skin on the water.
Private medical report. Patient CT616. Kicks. And unknown designation. Date. Location. Twilight. Report. I am writing this report to document what has been happening to me. I can't tell the general yet, or the commander, or my brothers. I am not even sure what is happening. I don't want to be sent back to Camino. After the incident in Scathi, I came away with... How do I even put this? I came away from the Scathi with a passenger. I saved Spark's life, even though he's still unconscious, but at what cost? My passenger says I'm being too dramatic. I think that having the entire squad killed and then letting an alien possess me and then eating the squad leader's head, I get to be dramatic. I let the alien, a symbiote of some sort, possess me. The armor we wear is surprisingly effective at keeping symbiotes out. I'm still experimenting to see why, with my passenger's permission. I am not sure why the squad leaders didn't work. The symbiote species is one from the unknown regions. It has confirmed that the distress signal and empty ship on low power is a trap that they have used to great effect before. There are very few planets that have the unique atmosphere that allows the symbiotes to live without another species. As a species, they have found 2 such planets other than their planet of origin, despite hundreds of years of exploration. Symbiotes cannot exist outside that unique environment for more than a few minutes, thus they merge with other organic beings. These beings act as a shell for the symbiote. There needs to be a high level of compatibility between the 2 beings. Compatibility concerning what? I am still researching. In the best case, the 2 work together and accomplish great things. In the more regular scenario, the symbiote uses the other as a shell and eats them from the inside out for sustenance. in the worst case scenario, both beings die due to incompatibility. I've managed to get my passenger to stop eating my internal organs. The symbiote can somehow simulate cell growth in my body, and I have regrown the organs it had eaten. I foresee a lot of chocolate in my future, and maybe some very weird rations. My passenger did complain about a metal sparky thing in my brain area that apparently inhibited it enough that we could talk. Now that we are partners, my passenger is constantly badgering me about when it will be allowed to remove it. I've put myself down for a deep brain scan to ascertain what it is before agreeing.
Message on the C/General's Mayhem message board.
Anonymous posted, I think my general just married me off? No, really, before any of you assholes delete this as a fake post, I swear my general is marrying me off to another general. Either that, or he's sending me to be a bed warmer. Does anyone know anything about Nautilin biology? I've only found a bunch of academic articles, which are all behind paywalls, ugh, and one BuzzQuid article that is probably wrong because it is so clickbaity. The situation. My general was serving briefly with another general, the Nautilin. And yes, assholes, I know there's only one Nautilin general, and it would be easy to figure out who served with him recently, but I'm trying to keep to the Anon posting rules. During the posting, something happened to the Nautilin. He didn't explain. He says he will later? What exactly? But he apparently hit his coming-of-age moment or something? Or it will be happening soon? He managed to suppress it until after the mission was done, but because he finished the mission, he didn't have time to get back to his planet. He brought up that he needed someone to stay with him, defend him, and help him through the ceremony? Time? Heat? I don't know. I'm pretty sure he was fishing for my general to stay with him, but my general, being my general, completely missed all the hints and kept talking about how he had other missions to do. I think the Nautilin was trying not to take advantage of any of us clones. But eventually the Nautilin general got the point across, and my general frowned and spouted something about how his former Padawan was in trouble and needed his help and offered me instead. The Nautilin general looked bad enough that I didn't argue and said yes when he asked if I was truly okay with it. But now we are in a, very nice admittedly, resort room, and I am very confused. The Nautilin general's clones were already securing a very nice hotel and missed the whole conversation. I've calmed them and talked to the general, and everyone thinks I need to stay and not one of the others. Edit. I am okay with this. I realize I wasn't very clear in the original post. Nautilin general is hot and nice and respectful. I'm just very what the fuck about this.
Email retrieved from private Naboo servers.
To Core, from Padme. Subject, RERERE, new bodyguard. I'm worried about Commander Fox. I don't mean to sound ungrateful. We've talked about this before, and I have taken your words deeply to heart. I am grateful that the Supreme Chancellor is taking my safety so seriously. Even if I wish he used his power more equally and gave all senators guards. Back to Commander Fox. In the weeks he has been my bodyguard, he seems distracted, fighting with himself almost. Not that he isn't spectacular at keeping me safe. I only fear that expecting him to bodyguard me, as well as run the Coruscant Guard, is wearing him thin. While I have never seen a clone trooper burn out, they are baseline human, so I assume they can. I don't want that for Commander Fox. I have tried to gently press him to relax. I have suggested that another of the guard could spell him for a shift, and given him the comm address of my therapist. I know a therapist is not as good as the Jedi mind healers that Commander Fox surely has access to, but maybe he will take advantage of the services of someone not connected to him, even in the most tangential way. He has admitted to losing time, being unsure why he has taken some actions, and seeing reports written by himself that he does not remember. He has warned me, in a hushed, scared tone, to be cautious around him, that something does not add up. I shouldn't be talking about this. I trust you to keep it quiet. Padme.
2. General Fisto. From Commander Cody. CC-2224. Subject. First week on Glee Anselm. General. Should I say fiancé? I feel like you'd want me to call you my fiancé, but I'm not sure I can. It feels wildly inappropriate, even considering what we did. Your planet is nice. It feels good to be back around this much water. I think most of the generals forget that we were created and raised on a water planet. The difference between Kamino and Glee Anselm are pretty wild. Actual Kamino culture was all completely underwater. Some of the scuba troopers saw them in the water once and said it was mesmerizing. They apparently look completely different. They only had the dry, well, relatively, considering the rain, facility for cloning non-aquatic species and hosting meetings with off-worlders. Your world is completely integrated. There's so much life here. I'm happy to report your medical staff are, if not nice, I have yet to meet a medic that is truly nice. All of them care, but they are fierce. Very respectful of my bodily autonomy, which is also a stark difference from Kamino. They've been going through my options for a body modification with me. I know you said I wasn't required to go through this, but I want to respect your people's traditions. Besides, I could be the only brother with gills. I could follow you or General Kenobi underwater without drowning. You think I'll pass that up? I'm emailing. I know you're busy with your unit, and that without scuba training, I'd be worse than useless. Because we did the deep scans earlier today and found a small metal chip in my brain. Your medics got some medical tech people involved. I'm terrified of what they found. I don't know who to talk to. I'm emailing General Kenobi right after this, but I think we need to keep this quiet until we have a solution, because I can't be the only one. Worried. Commander Cody. CC-2224.
Date. Entry. I lost time again. 4 hours this time. The last 3 times were the day before a major murder case. All of them had no signs of force entry. All of them were places I checked myself for security measures. I hope no one is dead tomorrow. I haven't woken up with blood on my hands. Yet. Sunder Amidala. She's told me to call her Padme, but I can't. Is safe, but I can't help but wonder for how long. Am I a threat? Am I being held over her like an axe waiting to fall the moment she steps out of line? She's working so hard to foster peace between the Republic and the Seps, and maybe even harder to try to get the Senate to recognize the official personhood and citizenship for the clones. That makes her a target. A huge one. I can't go to the Jedi mind healers, even if my therapist highly recommends it. I journal, and that will have to be enough. I can't help the feeling that I'm a threat to them. The Jedi, that is. Even more than I'm a threat to the Senator. I wonder if I could be reassigned. I've made inquiries, but the Supreme Chancellor has nothing but praise for my work, so my hopes aren't high. Fox.
Unsent verbal report by Medical Officer Kix, CT-6116, on the Quetzali incident.
Name, Officer Kix, CT-6116, date XX. This report is on the Quetzali incident.
And Symbiote, 821.
And Symbiote, 821. Want to give them your name?
No.
Okay, then. The mission on Quetzali was supposed to be a routine check on the security outposts in the sector. It turned out anything but routine.
As always.
Yeah. None of our missions seem to go to plan, do they? We, being myself, CT-0667, Shark, CT...
Is this going to be long and boring? They know who was there. They were assigned. And will be doing their own reports.
There's a formula. I have to tell them who was there. What our intended mission was. How it deviated. It's a play-by-play.
Boring.
Being a soldier is mostly boring paperwork.
You are not a soldier. You are a healer.
Being a medic involves even more paperwork than being a soldier.
Gross. We will start with the exciting parts. Where I got to meet your friends. Kix and friends were surrounded, like the unintelligent, squishy beings they are.
You're squishier than us. You can't even survive without a host. You are literally goo.
The enemy had laid a trap, but they did not count on me.
No one counts on you.
Just when all seemed lost, Kix finally asked me to help. Begged me, even.
You kept whining that you wanted to be involved, like a puppy needing to pee.
I showed in all my glory. The enemy did not stand a chance. Kix's squad was in awe.
Yeah, my friends think you're cool. The Symbiote 821 isn't lying, though. We were surrounded. The imps had laid a trap at the security outpost that was meant for a Jedi. Only my friend here popping off saved us all from the combat droids.
I am the best, true. Why do you fight droids? They are crunchy and contain no nutrients.
We don't eat them.
You should fight enemies with heads we can eat, Kix. Heads are the best part.
I am not putting that in the report. I can't put that in the report. The guys already are freaking out about my alien parasite.
Symbiote!
I can't report you want to eat heads.
But they are so tasty.
Recorded debriefing sent to therapist.
Fuck. 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 Well, I guess I know why I kept blanking out. Breathe. Therapist always tells you to breathe. Start from the beginning. Something has been brewing for a while now, and looking back, I'm very glad I wasn't aware. Apparently, an accident by the 212th and General Kenobi involving General Fisto resulted in Commander Cody being married to General Fisto. When Senator Amidala found that out, She pulled up some deeply buried part of the Republic's original charter that says if a person marries a Jedi, that person's entire people are eligible for citizenship. She organized a meeting. Cody requested Kix be present. I didn't understand why at the time. I had something else to bring up with the senders and Jedi Council, especially relevant if we're all citizens. The chips. I reported the meeting to the Supreme Chancellor. I didn't intend to. I've done a lot of things I didn't mean to because of the Chancellor. He insisted I attend the meeting to guard Senator Amidala. He attended too, of course. A whole people joining the Republic was to be celebrated. Everything was going well. Or it seemed to be. Other senators were on board with the citizenship claim. But when the last few who were resistant admitted that they couldn't deny the claim, the Supreme Chancellor became concerned. And he said the words. I always knew 66 was an unlucky number.
Helmet cam footage submitted to the Jedi Council as evidence by CT-6116 Kix.
Execute Order 66.
Captain Fox and all the other clones except Cody stiffen. Then they raise their blasters and point them at the Jedi in the room.
These senators are traitors as well.
The blasters shift to cover everyone in the room that is not a clone or the Supreme Chancellor.
What the fuck? Guys?
The controlled clones fire. Cody dives for some of the senators. Kit Fisto throws himself into the middle to draw fire, lightsaber flashing to deflect bolts. Senator Amidala has a small stunner pistol out and is trying to stun Fox.
It's the chips. If we can countermand the order, they'll be fine. Try to disable, not kill.
Get the Chancellor. Got it.
Got it.
Wait, shit, no!
Sith heads, so tasty.
The footage cuts off abruptly. Report on the Senate incident submitted by Commander CC-2224, Cody.
And then Kix, his head exploded. That was how it appeared, at least. His bucket shattered, and the rest of him was consumed in a black goo that, I have now been informed, is an alien symbiote. Symbiote Kix went straight for the Supreme Chancellor. He showed his true colors then, calling out Sith Lightning. I think he tried to go for a lightsaber, but Symbiote Kix got there too fast. The lightning gave them pause for a moment, but then they opened their mouth, and it poured right back out onto the Supreme Chancellor. Then they bit his head clean off and ate it and said, crispy, with a satisfied belch. If there is a mind healer I could talk to about this, that would be wonderful. With the death of the Supreme Chancellor, Senator Amidala got the clones under control, framing that she was the highest rank and canceled the orders. My recommendations going forward.
Medical request form. Submitted by Symbiote 821. Chocolate.
Notes by Medical Officer Kix. You can't keep writing this while I am asleep. I know you need the enzyme. That's why I have the synthetic injectable. And yes, I know, it doesn't taste as good. I am well aware, but getting that much chocolate on a regular basis is hard on the front lines. The front lines that you demand we be on, I will remind you. And on that note, you can't keep throwing yourself into other brothers' head and eating their chips. You have to ask first. I know they are singy and you feel like you can't eat just one, but you can't keep possessing people without their permission. If they ask you to possess them, then I guess it is fine. Just be careful. I absolutely do not need to know anything about what you do with Shadow or anyone like him. That's not my thing. I am glad you are having fun, but please tell him to stop asking me weird questions in public.
Post on the C/culture message board.
If anyone is homesick for a water world that is much nicer and more friendly than Kamino, I highly recommend Glienslin. You're going to need a breather to access about half of it, but it's gorgeous. Mostly sunny, too. So I guess if you're homesick for the endless rain, this isn't the planet for you. The scenery is gorgeous. I mean the landscapes, of course. The sentients are nice to look at, too, if you're into that. That being tentacles, in this case. The tentacles are fun in all sorts of situations. I'm leaving below the belt a mystery for you all to discover for yourselves, but just know that it's also fun. If you aren't into touching, but are into looking, all Nautiluans hang out without shirts for the most part. It isn't just a quirk of our general. They're building a section of their capital city that is completely land-based, so we, brothers, have a place to go. It won't fit everyone, of course, but if anyone needs a place to rest, or a vacation, or really amazing medical treatment, we are welcome there. Their Jedi is the one that helped us get citizenship, after all.
Date. Entry. Abu is a peaceful planet. Flower fields seem to go on forever. I can almost imagine that the nightmare of the Senate Dome was just that. A nightmare. Padme says I can stay here, in her family's summer house, for as long as I need to. My therapist thinks it's a good idea. So do the Jedi mind healers. I was right to think I was a threat to them. I'm not a threat anymore. I couldn't wait for the Nautilin surgery. I let Kix's symbiote into my head. It isn't the worst thing I've had in my head, and the worst it would do would be to eat me. The chip is gone. And Chancellor's influence isn't, but we're working on that. There's a whole new squad on Senate duty. That's good. The war is ending. We are free citizens. Padme accomplished both. She keeps telling me to stop thanking her, but I can't. I have time to heal because of her. I'm gonna ask if she wants a bodyguard. I can hire on. I think.
The end.
Thank you for listening.
I hope you all enjoyed this. It was delightful to write. And even more of an honor that not only was God of Laundry Basket so inspired by the original Pensive Podfic project, but then also to create like a fully voiced multi-voice project for it in sort of a more quote-unquote traditional style is just, ugh.